It's Tuesday evening,
March 30th.
Lord, we ask for your blessings on our meeting tonight, O Lord, that there would be a flow of your spirit, a flow of your truth, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, why the devil is here, we don't really know, except that he has to buff us, he has to tempt us, he has to try the saints, and for some reason, overcoming him is a major part of Christianity, and why that is, I don't know. But in the 10th chapter of Matthew, it tells about a situation, and I thought I can see this. I never used to be able to, but I can see it now. And it says, for the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child to death, and the children shall rise up I can't see it there, but try crying to do the one eye. Put their parents to death, and their parents, and cause them to put it to death.
Where are you?
I don't know.
Matthew.
In chapter 10, verse 21.
Oh, okay.
And the brother shall then deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. You know, those are some crazy scriptures, but now we're getting to the middle of the family. And somehow the families will hate the rest of the family.
Pretty focused on the family there, isn't it?
Yeah. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the child, and the father, the child. And a father doesn't hate his children. But in this case, apparently, whatever causes it will cause it right to the, glad to be put, that to be put them to death. There are some scary scriptures, but somehow you know that is a condition that will exist. And then in 34, which I've known this scripture for years, Jesus says, "You think that I came to bring peace. But I didn't. I came to bring a sword, a division, a separation. Didn't come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. For I am come," he said, "of man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter and law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household." Are those some scary scriptures or not?
Doesn't leave much question as to where the priority is.
No. And Jesus says, Yeah, except you love me more and you love your father and mother or anybody else. You're not worthy of it. That's kind of, it's a hard thought pattern when we have grown up loving our mother and dad and our brothers and sisters and, you know, wanting the best for them and so forth. And he says, that's not really where it's at. We are to cast out devils. And I experienced something yesterday. And I know it had a little bit of a result of declaring war on the devil on Sunday. And I have a hard time hearing. I can't hear anything out of my left ear. And I could hear fairly good on my right ear. And yesterday morning, I couldn't hear anything out of either ear. And there was a buzzing going on in both ears. And I could hear voices, and I could hear all kinds of things out of my right ear that didn't exist. And so I just lay down and rested. And then after a while, it kind of went away. But I know that somehow it had to do with a declaration of war on the devil. And this isn't fun, but you know what? We have to declare war on the devil if we're going to make it. A lot of scriptures that I like, I'm reading some that I don't like. But are they as much a part of what we read as what we do like?
No, that is not very, it's not a good picture at all, and Jesus doesn't do anything to kind of cushion it. He's pretty darn blunt about it. He doesn't say, oh, and I know you're really going to feel bad about this, but I understand you feeling bad. He doesn't say that.
Yeah. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. But isn't he the Prince of Peace?
Yeah, to those who love him and accept him.
He says, I guess he will send not peace, but a sword. Well, what is the Word of God? That's a sword of the Spirit. So he said he came to send the word, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I am come to set a man at variance against his. His father and the daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He came to set that.
That's one reason why it's good to read the King James. Variance doesn't sound too bad. But, you know.
What's saying the other?
You want to know what some of the other translations are?
Huh?
You want to know what some of the other translations
yeah.
are? For exactly what scripture?
10:34.
I think it's pretty close in the new. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
No.
What does it say in some other translation?
1:35.
So I am going to set a man at what?
Well, set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And a man's enemies will be those of his own household.
The Berean Study Bible, for I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. They look really close, Keith.
Uh-huh.
They all look pretty close.
We don't really see that picture. We don't want to see that picture in the rest of the scriptures.
You know, it makes more sense today than ever, because if you pay a little attention to how the culture is changing out there, young people don't have much tolerance for the old ways or the whatever. They got a whole new way of thinking, you know, and it has nothing, and especially the ones that aren't attracted at all to Christianity.
What they say is, well, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
That's...
You know, I was listening, and I don't know where it was, because in my truck, it says, you know, 138 or something. It's not lined up with the scriptures, because it never, when I did those, it wasn't putting a title to anything. It didn't, it's like the jukebox hadn't developed a thing for the Bible yet, kind of. Anyway, so I don't know where it was, but there's that. And you guys have heard this. It says, Paul is saying it. And he says, and when this time comes, you should act as if you don't have a wife or whatever, you know. And so what it's saying is you should really be concentrating on the Lord.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians.
When this time comes, I think it's
8 or 9 or somewhere in there. 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, I figured it must be Corinthians, because I thought
that's
the other stuff I was hearing. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious that where our confidence and everything else should be.
That's a tough one, you know.
I don't like to base these scriptures, but at the same time, they're here.
Yeah.
Well, you can't ignore any scripture.
No.
On the other hand, you can certainly say you don't understand them all.
Yeah.
I was looking for the phrase "declare war." You know, you said we need to declare war, and I really only found one scripture that seemed relevant in Revelation that said we had to declare war on the enemy. And that was actually talking about the beasts, declare war on the two beasts. It wasn't, not, you know, looking for some scriptural support to declaring war on the devil.
Mm. You know, this.
I haven't found it yet. Not saying it's not there. I just haven't found it.
This time around, that's kind of sat a little different with me, too. But, you know.
Well, I think we have to be. Certainly, there is war. There is spiritual war going on. And there's battles being said. So I just. But I want to be. I want to stay true to the word.
I think you kind of got to address it as it comes. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is so. On the other hand, you know, there is a risk associated with being too tolerant of the works of the devil.
Well, no, but I mean, well, it's not that you have to be tolerant, but you don't have, you know, it's like, I don't know if I'm in the place that want to declare war on the devil necessarily personally.
Well, I do think you should receive a prompting from the Lord.
Yeah. And I mean, I was reading through Matthew because I kind of wanted to read the, you know, a little of the circumstances around casting out demons, you know. And it's not like it stands out from anything else. It's just part of the ministry.
Yeah, you know, right. Yeah, it wasn't a special day.
No.
Whenever the Spirit moved, it was dealt with.
And it was in a lot of places he sent them, and he didn't even mention casting out demons, you know. But then the other times it's healing diseases, you know, taken care of, and then some of them it'll mention and casting out spirits, you know, and then some that, you know, like a demon possessed somebody came and he healed them, you know. I mean, obviously, if it was demon possessed to heal him, you had to get rid of the demon, you know.
As far as not understanding certain scriptures, I don't know that there's much wiggle room on this. Father will, you know, and the son will, you know, and then brother will be against brother. It kind of says what it says there.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Well, I can see it happening. I just. Well, what does this mean? It must mean something a little different from, you know. This one seems pretty clear.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Yeah,
not a lot of wiggle room.
No.
Right.
Although, I think the message in that scripture is that this is an issue that can be divisive even among your family unit.
Yep.
And so, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's Ken said, we're seeing it happen just not on a religious basis right now. We're seeing it happen on many different ways. So you could argue that we're kind of experiencing some of this right now. I mean, how many people have lost friends because they've taken a certain political stand? You know, just like even within families.
Yeah. Now, I suppose you could say, well, for the sake of peace in the family, let's just compromise on this thing. And I think Jesus is saying, no, don't do that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yep.
If one takeaway from his ministry was there was no compromising. He basically kept smacking the Pharisees around at every turn. You know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they should do that more on the political level, but...
Yeah.
You know. But as far as Christianity goes, no. You know. Now there's such thing as being stupid and unanointed, you know. But
oh, yeah.
On the other hand, you don't want to be push that one too far.
You know. Well,
tough issues that you've been raising here, Keith.
Yeah. Do we ignore them?
own at your peril.
Uh-huh.
You ignore something at your own peril.
Yeah.
You can't ignore them.
Now, it does talk, you know, it is at a time. And if the time hasn't come, it hasn't come. Yeah. But we should not be.
Yeah, that's a good point. That, you know, some of them things, like when he says, count your wife, he's talking about a time, you know. When this happens, then count it all, you know. There's nothing except Christ, you know. Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that's the way to test the spirit, right? If someone is feeling something, but it's not being felt that strongly everywhere, you have to go, okay. Someone may have the lead on this, or may have gotten some early anointing or revelation on it, but God will fix that. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with saying, I think you're out on point, way a little too far. You know, and God will fix that too. So, I think you just want to be sure you're just not standing pat. And at the same time, you don't want to be making up your own rules as you go along. And that gets us back into that kind of that quandary of, well, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Well, I've waited long enough. And you go, well, no, not really. And I'm going to wait on the Lord some more. And yet, you know, but I think you want to be ready. I've heard from the Lord, and it's time to go.
Yes, I think you do need to be ready. I think that is most definitely the takeaway. Not that you have to pick an argument with your brother or whatever else.
That's not all that.
Yeah.
Sometimes some good can come out of that.
There's a scripture somewhere, and I can't find it here, but...
What does it say?
It says, when they say peace, peace.
Luke 9.
Where is it?
I think part of it is look nigh, because... Oh, maybe that's
no
a different...
I think it's in Revelation, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't know. I know I've referred to that scripture before, and I never know where it is, but I've read it.
All right. Well, there is no peace.
When they say peace, peace...
Peace, peace, and there is no peace.
Yeah, I don't think it's Revelation, though. It might relate to something like that in Revelation 2, but boy, I don't know where that is.
You see a scripture that says that somewhere?
I'm looking.
He's a looking.
I mean, I see lots of scriptures that mention peace, but not where it says
it. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace. well, it was Isaiah 57:19, peace, peace, to those far and near.
Well, it's somewhere in the New Testament.
Isaiah 57?
Yeah, well, that's the first one I found that says that. I'm looking. Jeremiah 8:11 says, peace, peace.
Isaiah 57, what?
Isaiah 57, 19.
Mm.
And Jeremiah 8, 11.
I think this is New Testament, but...
Well, is it peace, peace, I come to you, or what... So we got more of a sentence?
There's a scripture somewhere. So
I think it's
peace, peace, but there is no
peace. Men cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace.
Men cry.
Find anything yet?
No.
Might be Thessalonians, but...
I need letters a quarter inch high.
Yeah, I hear you.
Did Jesus say that? One of the Gospels?
I don't know.
Well, I'm actually not finding a lot. I did find Men and Peace in the same, not exact, but Revelation 6:4, from the earth and to make men slay one another. The writer was given power to take peace from the earth.
Yeah, no, that's not it. You got to have a key word to go with it, I think.
Well, I'm searching on men cry peace.
Oh.
So.
Or they say peace. Or. And I can almost see it, but I don't know where it is. I think it's in the right-hand column of the left page. Somewhere.
Yeah, okay. What is it? One of the last chapters of Matthew. You know, there's an awful lot of scary scriptures that we never look at.
Are you in the mood to get scared here lately?
A lot of hard ones.
Yeah.
Hard.
Be listening on the tape till I go on nuts because they know right where it is.
Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
I don't know where it says that.
Let's see.
this world through such a sudden destruction.
It might be in a gospel.
Almost thought I had it here. For many will come in my name, and you will hear rumors, hear of wars and rumors of wars. But that's not it. There's no peace there mentioned.
How about Matthew 7, 13, and 14?
But where is it?
Matthew 13, 7, 13, and 14. That's where at least I find it says peace, comma, peace.
Matthew 7?
What this says here.
13?
Matthew 7, 13.
That's about entering the narrow gate. There's no peace in there.
Well, turn to a different one.
I think Orky's machine said, I am so tired of looking things up in the Bible, I think I'm just going
to... I went off the Bible app and went to just to the web.
Uh-huh.
And that's this came up.
I think your machine said, I am sick of this. I'm sick of it.
About the time we think we know, we've been in the wall of scriptures. Here's a new one I've never heard before.
There is a scripture that says, sin, cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace.
Yeah, something
in there.
Oh, that I did see. I'm sorry, I saw that.
What about the word destruction?
I think that's peace, peace, but there is no peace, is Jeremiah 6:14.
14, huh? Okay.
Jeremiah 6:14?
Yes. Actually.
Yeah, there it is.
Actually, Jeremiah is a book, is a good book for the word peace. It's he used that word peace is used many times in Jeremiah. It's used in Jeremiah 8:15. We hope for peace, but no good has come. And Jeremiah 30:50, cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace.
I wonder if that's being quoted in the gospel somewhere.
I wondered that too. I'm not finding it in the notes that I've got, but.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's it. Because it certainly says, my people with sweet words saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Good, that could be, yep.
So what were you going to bring off of that scripture, Keith?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, I did relate to families, you know, brother against brother and so forth.
I, well, maybe it had to do with and when a woman gives birth, you know, like, you know, there's anguish.
Yeah. Take me down to the bathroom, Chuck.
You go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm hooking my head there.
They
weren't quite quick enough.
Doing your work for you.
Oh, seriously.
You know, those scriptures, they do speak of a time that we are not in right now, at least not in this country.
Right.
There is no issue regarding Christianity that becomes a matter of betrayal that results in death. Now, maybe China or Islam.
Yeah.
Country.
Well, I'm sure there is there.
Yeah. You know, you convert to Christianity in a Islamic country, and that's that's apostasy, and it's,
yeah,
it's a capital crime.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you've always been a Christian; it's another if you convert, you know, from Islam to Christianity.
This, you know, to go along with some of that scriptures you read, this is in Mark 10:29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life."
That is so crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, that happens. That's just what you said about, like, over there. If you're going to leave all of them behind because they're not going to accept you anymore.
Yeah. But it sounds as though there are all these material blessings you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. who cannot receive a hundredfold knowledge.
That is just plain confusing as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I wonder though in 30 if it's meaning you're going to get a hundredfold of persecution.
Right, so it says with persecution. You know?
Yeah.
So you get all this stuff, a whole lot more than you had before. But you're also going to get persecuted. That was Mark 10, what?
30. Well, it starts at 29.
Keith, have you ever been able to make sense of that place where it says you're going to get all these material blessings? They're going to, you know, well, what do you have to do to get the material blessings? Get,
well,
get persecuted? Or,
no. Let's see. At first he says, if you have left house or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. So that's kind of like when he called Peter and all of them away from their father and the boat fishes and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, let's see. So you've left all those for my sake and the gospel's. And then it's saying, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. But there's a dash. Houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And then it says, but many who are first will be last and last first. I don't know how that fits in there.
verse what? What's the verse in Matthew 10?
29 and 30.
Okay.
Then the last one there, the short one, 31. But yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one.
How do you spell destruction? Is it D-E-S or D-I-S?
D-E-S.
Now, it's certainly true that you receive a blessing under those circumstances, but it would not be a material blessing. It's funny he expresses it in that way. Now, maybe it's...
Well, now, okay, so in Mark 13, it gives the same, almost exact example of... But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry. Okay, you will speak, but whatever. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, 12. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Is that Mark where?
That's Mark 13, 12.
One we were talking about before, though, is Matthew 10, 29.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff tying in together. Because it's, man, it goes all the way down to say when one is taken and another, you know, it's kind of all part of the focus.
Then...
But that's all in the end.
Yeah.
You know, because it says when you see the abomination of Daniel, spoken of Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand.
And then, you know, including all these blessings, they're going to get 100 times over. those blessings are brothers and sisters and mothers and family and
fields.
Maybe that is fellowship in a church.
I don't know if that, how it's putting that. It almost looks like it's saying that because you left them all behind, you're going to receive a hundredfold of persecution from all of them, but you will gain eternal life.
Are you back in Matthew or Mark?
That's
this
Matthew.
Is Mark 10:29.
Oh, yeah, that was Mark 10:29.
You're going to get 100 times much in this present age. Gee, that sounds like 50 times over what Job got.
But there's a long hyphenation.
Yeah, right.
Does it have that in yours?
Uh-huh.
So it's pausing there for some reason.
Yep.
Before it says houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And then there's the same hyphenation again. Mm-hmm. And in the age to come, eternal life. I'm not sure how to read that.
I guess, if I had to try to make sense of it, I'd say, you leave all of your natural, or your blood, your natural home, and your natural brothers, sisters, mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And then you enter into fellowship where you do receive 100 times as much in this present age.
There's another place where
brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers.
There's another place where Jesus is talking to the disciples. And they said, well, we've left all. Type thing. And it's a little different setting, but he says, well, how does he say it? It makes it sound like they do get a natural reward.
Yes. Yeah, I'm familiar with that one. That's in two of the Gospels.
Huh?
That's in two of the Gospels.
Yeah.
And,
well, maybe it's Luke says it different.
Yeah, what about us? We've left family and friends. And you'll be rewarded for it, and he tells me he will be.
And then it somehow relates to many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I don't see the... I don't see the connection, but there's a connecting word there.
If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I do understand that one.
Yeah.
I get the words. As far as eating it, and making it part of my body, I don't know about that, but
yeah. Anyway, where are we? Pretty much saying you gotta deny all worldly things.
Yeah. Or certainly be willing to.
Yeah.
Yep. Let them have your grip on them, be real light.
Yeah.
I am affected by that rich young ruler. The story of the rich young ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning away sorrowfully.
Yeah.
Heard what he did not want to hear.
Yep. He thought he was on the right road.
Yeah, he thought he was sitting pretty good.
He thought he had it wired.
Just one thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just one more thing.
No, I've got all that.
Oh, by the way, it'll be the toughest one.
He's afraid he's going to hear that.
Maybe.
I think so.
You gotta wonder, you've been going through life on Earth, and it's been really kind of easy as a young ruler, and there hasn't been a lot of pain, suffering, sacrifice, and he says, oh yeah, you gotta give all this up. You have pain, suffering, and sacrifice. Oh, no more free lunch.
So he turns around and leaves.
Well, it's what's the saying? How does that go? Someone who's poor or told to give up everything is not such a big deal.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
Who's well, has been blessed on this earth, is told to give all that up. You know, it's kind of like, wait, I can see this. My hope for better in the future is not really as strong as someone who's being tested and in despair, right?
Yeah.
Here's a little setting, kind of. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, or have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Where's that?
That's in Luke 12:29.
It'd be a parallel scripture to Sermon on the Mount, Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, then, right, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which are not rolled.
I've always been struck by that. When we feel we are deprived, it's not because we don't have clothes to put on.
No.
You can, you can stop by someone's place where they're putting out free stuff and get the clothes, Our needs are a little more elevated than that, But I don't say that in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm struck, it's kind of fun to watch television from 50 and 60 years ago. We end up seeing a lot of Westerns. And one of the things that strikes me is that, you got two guys who are riding a horse and they make a little camp. And the third guy comes up and says, I need some food. And they go, well, not a problem. Sit down, join us. And I'm just thinking, walk by, knock on someone's door, say, I'm a little hungry, and can you share anything with me? And you go, how would they call the cops? I got this homeless dude, and it's amazing how we
whole notion of hospitality is.
Yeah, help our fellow man, our brother. I'm also amazed how often you just hear scripture quoted. We'll do like five, six verses.
It's kind of funny though. There is a kind of a code in the wild, or that you run into people. That concept is there, but then when you get home, forget it. it's kind of that way nowadays. It's like if you end up in an abandoned cabin and you build a fire because you're freezing, to death almost. And, well, then just make sure you cut the wood and replace it before you leave. Stuff like that.
Well, that's true. some into the wild.
I mean, that's way up in the mountains necessarily. I guess if you're out hunting deer and somebody's got a camp, yeah, I think, you know what? I think maybe if you stumbled into camp and said, hey, man, I've been lost for like hours. I'm thirsty and hungry, and I don't know for sure where I am. I'm sure they'd feed you.
Yeah.
You know? But like you say, but if you're stumbling around a block in the city and you need something, I'm really leery of anybody nowadays coming up to my door at night. You know? I'd want to discern whether or not they were really drunk or not. And that drunk or high, that's one thing. But
I've had that happen twice.
I had it happen once.
I had a fella. I don't know what the world happened. He got dumped by his friends or something. And he knocked on my door. And it was, 10:30 or 11 or something.
Yeah.
He had someone. I think he could call his girlfriend or wife or whatever, and she'd pick him up. And I let her make a phone call from our house. But there had been someone who said, "Get out of here! I'm calling the cops." You know, and it was troubling for him. The guy was in kind of a jam.
Yeah.
I ran him over to Walmart where he met. Talked to the wife, and she knew where that was, so she, Then another time, the gal was, it was 2:30 or 3 a.m., and she was drunk. She got dumped by her boyfriend down at Two Waters, you know.
Made it up the hill, huh?
Yeah, somehow. She was really drunk, though. And I gave her a ride home. It was over in Chippewa, south side of Chippewa. But that, you know, it is a funny thing. She was totally harmless.
Yeah.
She was drunk, but
years ago, it never would have been a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
People would come up to house, you know, I got a flat tire, I don't have a spare, can I call, you know, or something. Sure, you know, but man, there's so many weird things nowadays.
Yeah. Well,
weird people nowadays.
In town, in cities are a little different now in the country too.
But you know, nowadays who needs to go knock on a door because they don't have a cell phone?
True. Right.
In the last 10, 15 years, you know, you really the world is changing in a way that really makes me glad that I'm trying to stay foundationally on top of the work. Because the natural around me is just crazy. It's just crazy what's going on. And the Lord's allowing it to happen. So obviously this is part of the plan.
I don't give anything to the guy that's out panhandling there and between Quick Trip and
all these in there.
Yeah.
He looks too good.
That's his job.
Yeah, I mean he's got styled hair and everything. I'm thinking, come on.
Well, we
clean
we
clothes.
we know that he's been offered a job because we eat at TJ's too often. We know the management there, and they've offered him a job, and he's declined. He said, "No, I'm better off here."
Yeah.
No taxes, not on the grid. You know, paid under the table.
There's a lot. There's quite a few of them around. You know, I've seen quite a few doing it.
Yeah.
And then I see one guy. He's got two dogs. Well, if you're that broke, get rid of your dogs for one, because that's a big expense.
Yeah. Sure.
Feeding them. You know, and taking care of them, and doesn't make sense when there's something like that. Now, if a guy's sitting there and he's unshaven, his clothes are torn and dirty, you know, that's a little different situation. The guy maybe is really out, you know, hard up.
Brother Mike, you see, he's a the Norwegian that he could call himself 100%, you know. But he's the guy that said, yeah, he said, I'm Norwegian, but I take pills for it. But one night, he was down in Racine, you know, he used to drink pretty heavy. And he came in, and he didn't want to wake his wife, so he stepped in Davenport. He woke up in the morning, he realized that was his house.
Ouch.
It was one that looked like his.
Oops.
Yeah, that's in a time too, because the door was probably open, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably looked the other devil, or couch had somebody else sleeping in it. Maybe the real husband.
I remember looking out the front window and it was dark, and I went, well, that looks like somebody laying on the side of the hill ditch, you know. And I thought, geez, you know, so I thought, well, I better go out and check. You know, I thought maybe he got hit or something and he was dead, you know. And I got out there and he was just pretty drunk. And I can't remember what I did to help him out. I did something, I think. I'm not sure what. I don't remember now. But you know, that's an eerie feeling, walking up to something that's not moving, wondering if it is going to move or not, you know. But, yeah. It's kind of passed out.
There are guys that are camp in the woods behind Jennifer's, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, still?
I don't know that there's been anybody this year.
No, I don't think so, yeah.
But it, yeah.
But they were, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
She talked to me about that, too.
We woke up one time, and Joanne says, look out in the backyard. And I looked out about where our sewer sits there right now. There's a nice blue teepee set there.
Oh, yeah.
Plugged him. We didn't ask him to do it, and he didn't ask us if he could, but he just did it.
Well, they were here before we were, Keith. I remember that teepee. He did build a pretty good teepee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Is this still on?
Still on, but we should probably be short tonight because Keith had a pretty busy day.
But I remember I went up to the Fort of Balayan, you know, and we were doing them exhibitions. Yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Love you all.
And.